Good morning, everyone. Our lesson this morning is titled, Why I Believe Jesus Rose from the Dead, Part 2 of 2. The resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead is the very foundation of our faith. It's the basis of truth for Christianity. In this lesson, we'll continue our study of the evidence that supports the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. Let's look at the appearances Jesus made after his resurrection. Just about anyone can claim that someone has risen from the dead, but how many people are going to accept a claim like that without solid evidence? And the best evidence is eyewitness testimony. After Jesus rose from the dead, he appeared to a number of people on several different occasions. Sometimes he appeared to individuals, and sometimes to groups of people. Sometimes it was outdoors, sometimes it was indoors. He didn't exit his tomb and just slip away back to heaven. He spent 40 whole days, 40 days, showing himself to witnesses. Acts 1:3 says, Jesus presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. On one occasion, Jesus ate with his disciples and encouraged them to touch him. Luke 24, 39-43. He proved to them that they weren't seeing a ghost, but instead a real living flesh and blood person. Consider the Apostle Thomas. He represents, so to speak, every skeptic alive today. This is the source of the expression we've all used, doubting Thomas. When Thomas first heard the amazing news that Jesus had risen from the dead, he said, "Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails, and I put my finger into the print of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." John 20:25. He refused to believe that Jesus had risen from the dead unless he saw it with his own eyes and felt it with his own touch. Like the person who just has to touch when the sign says, "Don't touch wet paint." Thomas did us a great favor. First, he set a good example. Don't believe anything in religion unless it can be proven by the scriptures. And second, he provided us with reliable eyewitness testimony of the risen Savior. Let's notice how things went with Thomas. John 20:26-29 says, "After 8 days, his disciples were again inside and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, 'Peace be to you.' Then he said to Thomas, 'Reach your finger here and look at my hands, and reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing.' Thomas answered and said to him, 'My Lord and my God.'" Continuing in verse 29, Jesus said to him, "Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Thomas changed his mind. He saw the evidence he needed and believed that Jesus had risen from the dead. Thomas stands in the place of every honest skeptic who would follow after him. Because of this demand for evidence, we can believe in the resurrection with greater confidence. In 1 Corinthians 15, 5-8, the Apostle Paul provides a list of individuals who saw the resurrected Christ. In addition to the apostles, Jesus was seen by over 500 people at one time. Concerning this large group of eyewitnesses, Paul said in verse 6, "The greater part remain to the present." Now, Paul wrote this to the church at Corinth something like 26 years after Jesus' resurrection. In this statement, Paul was welcoming the Corinthians to investigate. Go on, check into the validity of the Lord's resurrection. He was doing more than reciting a list. He was saying that many of these witnesses were available. They could be asked about what they saw. Now, Paul wouldn't make a statement like that if these individuals weren't willing to support the fact that Jesus had indeed risen from the dead. The Bible says the truth shall be determined, or a matter shall be confirmed, by testimony of two or three witnesses, Deuteronomy 19:15. Just think, there were in excess of 500 witnesses of the resurrected Christ, and many were still available for cross-examination. The validity of Christ's resurrection has more than been confirmed. It has been verified. Let's read 1 Corinthians 15:5 through 8. Paul writes, "After Jesus was raised from the dead, he was seen by Peter, then by the 12. After that, he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep. After that, he was seen by James, then by all the apostles. Then last of all, he was seen by me also, as by one born out of due time." Let's go further. Sometimes a strong case is built not on eyewitness testimony, but on what's called circumstantial evidence. There are several circumstances in the New Testament that clearly point to the certainty of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Consider the bravery of the disciples. When Jesus was arrested, his disciples fled in fear. Peter soon denied him, but after the resurrection, these same men boldly preached the gospel in the face of opposition, in the face of threats, and even persecution. Men won't die for what they know to be a lie. The resurrection of Christ gave these men great confidence in their work. Now let's consider the beginning place of the church. The apostles didn't travel to some far-off place where they weren't known to start preaching the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. The first gospel sermon was preached in the same city as the Lord's empty tomb. We see this in Acts 2. It was preached to some of the very same people complicit in the Lord's crucifixion. Now, if the resurrection was a hoax, the gospel of Christ would have been easily exposed by the Jewish leaders. Let's consider the conversion of skeptics. Thomas, as we've seen, changed from doubter to believer. James, the brother of the Lord, was not a believer at first, John 7:5, but he went on to become one of the leading men of the church in Jerusalem, Galatians 1:18 and 19. Saul of Tarsus was a great persecutor of the Lord's church. Acts 22:4 and 5 reads, "I persecuted the followers of this way to their death, arresting both men and women and throwing them into prison, as also the high priest and all the council can testify. I even obtained letters from them to their brothers in Damascus and went there to bring these people as prisoners to Jerusalem to be punished." In Galatians 1:13 we read further, "You have heard of my former manner of life in Judaism, how I used to persecute the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it. And yet, much to the surprise of many, Saul became the beloved Apostle Paul." Acts 9:20 and 21 tells us that Saul, or Paul, immediately after his conversion, began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. All those who heard him were astonished and asked, "Isn't he the man who raised havoc in Jerusalem among those who call on his name? And hasn't he come here to take them as prisoners to the chief priests?" Why would Saul, with such a promising future in Judaism, turn his back on the path he'd been on since childhood? We can't help but remember how Saul stood by holding the coats of the men who stoned Stephen, nodding in consent. The conversion of Saul is something the Jews were unable to explain even today. But we know the reason he changed. He saw the risen Lord. Acts 26:9 through 20 tells us this clearly. Let's talk about the first day of the week. The church was originally made up of Jewish converts, who for centuries had kept the Sabbath, Saturday, the seventh day of the week. However, a different day was kept by the disciples of the early church, the same day we as Christians keep, the Lord's Day. The first day of the week is the day that Christians meet to worship God. 1 Corinthians 16:1 and 2, Acts 20 and 7 tells us this. This happens to be the day Jesus rose from the dead, Matthew 28:1. It happens to be the day the church was established, Acts 2. Now, while none of these items take the place of eyewitness testimony, they form a preponderance of circumstantial evidence that strongly supports the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. What makes the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead so significant and so important? Why should we care, people ask, whether or not we can prove Jesus actually rose from the dead? Isn't it enough that he was a good man? Here are three vital reasons. First, it proves Jesus is the Son of God. The resurrection is the means by which God declared Jesus to be his son. Romans 1:4 says that Jesus Christ our Lord was declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. It is also the means by which Jesus declared himself to be the Son of God. Jesus predicted his resurrection 15 times in the gospel accounts. Second, the resurrection of Christ is important because it validates our faith. It has been said that Christianity either stands or falls with the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This is the point Paul made in 1 Corinthians 15:12 through 19. According to this passage, if Jesus wasn't raised from the dead, all gospel preaching is meaningless. Our faith is worthless. The apostles were liars. We're still in our sins. Those who have died have perished without hope, and Christians of all people are to be pitied most of all. Third, the resurrection of Christ is important because it assures us a future judgment. Paul preached in Athens in Acts 17:30 and 31, "Having overlooked the times of ignorance, God is now declaring to men that all, everywhere, should repent, because he has fixed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness through a man by whom he is appointed, having furnished proof to all men by raising him from the dead." The resurrection of Jesus from the dead is the assurance of our own resurrection and judgment. Truly, he has not left us alone. He has prepared a place in heaven for us. We know he is coming for us. We know we will be raised up never again to die. We know he will judge the world, and this is why we strive to be found worthy of reward. Let's bring our lesson to a conclusion this morning. The resurrection of Jesus from the dead is the crowning piece of evidence regarding our faith. It gives meaning to everything we believe, everything we teach, everything we practice, everything we hope. There may be questions throughout the rest of our lives that we struggle with, but without a risen Savior, our entire religion would be empty and worthless. Either Jesus rose from the dead as he said he would, or he and his apostles successfully carried out the biggest hoax in human history. If he didn't rise from the dead, we could ignore everything the Bible has to say, for it's based on a lie. However, since he did rise from the dead, we know we'll also be raised from the dead to stand before him in judgment after this life is over. And we also know he has the power to forgive us of our sins and grant us eternal life. Over the past three lessons, we've examined the evidence proving that Jesus is the Son of God, risen from the dead. What do you believe? What will you do with Jesus? We'll close our lesson today with the invitation of Christ. If you're not a Christian, why not become a child of God today? Why not make today the turning point in your life? If you have heard through the Scriptures that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, if you believe with all of your heart that he came to earth, died for our sins, was buried, rose the third day, and now reigns in heaven, if you're willing to repent, to get off the path you've been on and get on the path Christ trod, forsaking your past sins and striving to live righteously, if you're willing to confess before men and women that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, if you're willing to make that commitment aloud, you can be baptized. You can be buried in the waters of baptism for the remission, for the forgiveness of your sins. You can be saved. You can rise up to walk in newness of life, your sins forgiven, a member of Christ's church, added to his body, with the hope of eternal life. If that's what you'd like to do, let us know. We're here to help you. If you'd like to know more about Jesus or study the Bible more, to know more about God's will through his Son, Jesus Christ, we're here to help you. Just let us know. Thank you very much for being with us this morning.